Welcome back to Locker Room Dads, hosted by myself, Pat O'Donnell, punter for the Green Bay Packers. Alongside me is my guy, Josh Brinzo, co-host of the show and brewery owner here in South Florida. Today's guest on the show, he needs no introduction, but we're going to do it anyway. Miles is a two-time All-Star who has the best mustache in the game and throws gas, just straight gas. Correlation, I think so. Yeah. But most importantly, he has three amazing children and is a locker room dad. Four?
Oh,
four. Uh-oh. Yeah.
Is this breaking news?
It's probably not. He's only one, so I don't know.
Okay. Yes, that counts. Yeah. Miles, man, welcome to the show. Super pumped.
Thank you for having me. Cheers.
Dude, so where are we catching you right now? I know you threw, what, yesterday?
I threw yesterday. So this is just like my office. Like I've got my jerseys from the Cardinals. Oh, my.
This is nice.
From Tokyo and San Diego and all my stuff. Some of my wife's memorabilia. She got kind of famous in Japan for a little bit. Some Japanese awards up there and all the plans for the house we're building.
All right.
Down there, so...
Is the house going to be here at Jupiter?
Yeah, it's like a mile down the road from where we are now. It's out here in the farms.
Oh, nice.
A big 9-acre piece of land, and we're just going to real spread out. We're going to do like the chickens and the garden and all that kind of stuff.
Living the dream, the
farms,
man.
Farms lifestyle.
Yeah.
Oh. Dude, actually, that segues into my question here.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Josh, before we start, is like, do you know his nickname? I'm like, no, I don't. Josh, why don't you ask the question?
Yeah, I heard a little story, and I'd like to ask you about it, but I know your nickname is Lizard King, and I love it. I think it's the greatest thing, so I need to hear a little more. I'm sure others may know it.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, I can't escape it. It's so I was in the Arizona Fall League. Like, they send the teams send, like, all their prospects to Arizona for this little, like, 20-30 games, little, like, mini season in Arizona. And I caught it because I'm quick like that. I caught a lizard in the bullpen, and we were trying to get everyone like to eat it. Like, oh, eat this. You know, we're trying to get everyone. And then, of course, because I caught it, it comes back to me like, well, why don't you eat it? So I ended up getting like a couple $100 and I just housed it. And the following, the rules were really lax. Like one of the guys had their phone in the bullpen, so he filmed the whole thing and it ended up on YouTube. And it's, you know. You hit one home run, you're not a home run hitter. But if you eat one lizard, you're like the guy that eats lizards.
Yeah, and absolutely.
I haven't eaten one since. It's not like a part of my diet. I'm not running around South Florida grabbing iguanas. I'm not Bear Grylls-ing it out there. But I will rise to the challenge when presented with one.
I like that. You know, I don't know if I've ever eaten a lizard, but I mean, I don't know.
I think you can house an iguana.
Well...
Just nice, like, flay it up.
I saw a dude on Instagram did like the whole like catch and cook. They caught it. They supposed to taste like frog legs. They eat iguanas down in south parts of South America, like
delicacy.
Normal.
So this is just normal.
Yeah, South Florida, South America.
I like it.
Same thing. Hopefully, your kids aren't eating lizards. Are they doing that yet?
No, my son is. I don't know if he still is, but like as of a couple of months ago, was terrified. A frog jumped on him outside. He came inside like you thought he like I thought he fell and like broke his arm because he was in tears. He's like, Dad. I'm like, what? He goes, the frog jumped on me. I was like, oh, sorry.
You probably got a lot of frogs out there in the farms.
Yeah, those big like tree frogs, and then those big cane toads, the big
people. The buffo toads. Yeah,
everyone in Hollywood's tripping on those now.
Yeah, they're big.
That's the thing. I read an article on it.
We're gonna see people out here just catching them and shipping them off.
Yeah, man.
No, they have a toxin in them. It's like a hallucinogenic.
Yeah, not good for your dogs. But I know some people were catching them.
I've heard people's dogs get addicted to them.
We gotta take our dog to rehab.
No.
That's pretty crazy.
On the streets.
The streets
of Jupiter. I love it.
So,
the streets of Jupiter, Florida, yeah.
The mean streets of Jupiter, Florida are a tough spot to raise a kid. How old is your oldest? And your youngest is one, right?
My youngest is one. My oldest will be six on the 20th of March. So that's coming up. And my two in the middle, they're twins, they're four.
Okay.
They'll be five in July.
So you have a nice little spread here.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, clumped together, two boys, two girls, but we're, you know, pretty close in age. So once we're out of, you know, hopefully we'll be out of diapers in a year or so, and then it's done.
You feel good about it, or you want to keep going? Four is good.
Four is a lot.
Yes. Yeah.
Because if you have four, if you have one more, you got to have two. You have to even numbers. So we had three, and I thought we were done after twins, kind of, just because twins is it's tough on everyone. Tough on my wife. She's incredible. She's like the Incredible Hulk of moms. Like when it comes to momming, boom, like she can handle anything. And, you know, she handled the twins, and that's tough because I'm on the road during the season. I mean, you know how it is. And you're out.
Sure.
And your wife is sometimes it's kind of like, I got to go. I'm sorry. Like, I can't. I wish I could help, but the circumstances. And we're at like this, we're at a fair one time and like a year ago and 2 years ago. And the two girls are in like one bumblebee, like spinning a circle. And then my son is in the other one, just like all by himself. Be like, we're having another kid. And I was like, okay.
Well, what? It wouldn't drop that easy. Like that. Yeah,
that easy.
Yeah, like we, you know, we did discuss it. Like, you know, even numbers is better. He needs to have, even if it's a, even if it ends up being a girl, just for there to be to pair off
in certain things and
someone not be left out. And you know, we were graced with a boy, so two boys, two girls, and
that's nice.
You know, like karate. You know, he's teaching Rhett, Miles is teaching Rhett how to karate fight, and they've got these like, you know, knights of the round table kind of paper swords, and he's coming along. He's coming along again.
That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for that.
The twos thing too, like talking about having an even number. We had one, and I was fighting it for a while because I was really happy with one, even though I wanted two. And then everyone was telling me you got to have an even number.
Yeah, you have three. You have the middle child, and it's a problem.
So you have two, and how many do you have?
Same. I have two. I have a daughter that's the oldest son, about 6 months.
Okay.
Same here.
Yeah. So we're in it right now, man. Yeah. Basically two kids under two, almost.
I'm kind of curious for you. So you've got a little bit of an age gap now. I was just holding my little boy, Bennett. He's 3 months old, and I was getting puked on, changed him, got puked on again. I was like, all right, I don't think I missed this. But I don't know, because now I'm looking at what was the harder stage, you know, for an age range. And like now my daughter Billy's back talking me and she's like two. I'm like, OK, well, now I can't decide.
It never stops. It never stops. We and every kid, it's when you have four, especially when you have two, you'll start seeing that every kid they can be night and day. They can handle things completely different. And, you know, each kid is their own and they come and, you know, there's some nature and there's some nurture and you can, you know, try to swim this way and that way. And, you know, you have to treat kids, you know, treat some kids differently. And, you know, what the mind games like, oh, I know I can say this and get him to do that. To get her to do this, I have to say this. But we just got new toothbrushes and one of the twins didn't get the color toothbrush that she wanted. Like 20 minute. Meltdown, forget it. It's like,
no,
you get new toothbrushes again in like a couple months. You can pick the one, but I wanted the pink and purple one. And her older sister got it, so it just it's things like that. It's like, you know, the irrationality of children sometimes. Like,
yeah,
it's blue. I wanted the red one. It's like, it doesn't matter. Everyone's drinking apple juice, it's colored up. And it's,
how do you know what battles to fight, though?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, is it worth a 20-minute tan? I don't know. You'd be like, oh, just Amazon another one.
Yeah, but sometimes you, I mean.
You can't, though, right?
At some point, kids just got to learn, like, you get what you get, and you don't get upset. The car
Fair enough.
You just, you know, rotate it.
Yeah.
Who sat in the front of the car seats last time? Okay, well, now you're sitting in the back, and now it's your turn. You take turns, but when you buy stuff, just buy everything in beige.
That's a good idea.
Super neutral.
This is a good tip.
God, I was going to ask you for some tips. You're already spitting them out.
That's a good one.
This is amazing. But, all right. So Jupiter, Florida, you're doing spring training here. Mm-hmm. You grew up here. What is that like? Are you like thankful? Like you can have the family there? Or are you like a guy that just wants to do his work, get in the right frame of mind for season? What is that like for you?
I love having my family around. It's great. They were at my game the other day. My wife stayed home with my youngest because it's hot and it's like right in the middle of his nap time.
Yeah.
And she says that she likes to watch it on TV sometimes because you can't see a whole lot from the stands. And she wants to see more of the game sometimes. But my mother-in-law and my mom, like, they took the three older kids and I'm warming up on the bullpen before the game, and they walk down and they're yelling, you know, "Dad, throw strikes, Dad, do this." And then I can hear them screaming from the stands. They're eating like Dippin' Dots and screaming at me. And I think it's great. And then today, my wife, Lauren, picked them up from school and brought them to the field. I got out. If you're a veteran guy, you don't have to stay for the whole game of spring training right away. So I came out after the fifth inning. And they came out. We played on the like the backfields.
No, that's awesome.
Some baseballs. Play tag on the turf, on our turf field. You know, get them a snack from the kitchen. Let them. You know, like some of the old other guys would leave in the locker room, so they get to there's Lars. You know, there's Tommy. Like their favorite players when they watch the games on TV. So it's fun. It's great. It's great, and they love it. And it, you know, I think it's because they're old enough now. I want them to remember because people like I feel like sometimes they don't realize like, hey, your dad's got a really cool job. not everyone gets such a cool job. Like I want them to like be a part of it and remember it. And, you know, hopefully I play long enough to where they're old enough. They can, you know, be in the outfield like during batting practice and things like that.
Yeah. That'll be great. I think for a lot of people listening too, and I'm sure you would agree, like Roger Dean and the spring training facility for the Cardinals and the Marlins is such a great family friendly atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's like super chill compared to a lot of other spring training sites. And I think it's like perfect for bringing a kid to.
They're getting ready to redo like the whole stadium, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. But I heard that was something they're going to do.
At least the locker rooms. I know they're doing that. All locker rooms are really old.
Yeah.
But it's spring training, so I feel like that's how it's supposed to be.
That's the feel, right? Like it's
spring training, like let's hurry up and get out of here because I don't want to be in the plywood locker anymore. I want to be in like my big, you know, my big
your home locker.
Yeah, it's a good spot though. And I mean, you can't beat the Florida weather. It's great. So
no, it's starting to get a little hot. It was warm all winter here. We didn't have any good cold fronts.
Yeah.
The fishing was a little slow because of it. We didn't get like the really hot sailfish bite. All the nice cold fronts that come down.
Yeah, let's talk about
fishing. I was waiting for it. Yeah.
I know. Pat wants to talk fishing. I don't fish. I've gone fishing.
I got to get you guys out next winter now that we're podcast friends.
I'd be all about it. Listen, I have wanted to go deep sea fishing so bad since I've lived here, and I have not done it. But I need to hear about this.
It's fun. I mean, there's so much you can do, like, off the East Coast right here. You can go, like, a 15-minute ride, like, right out to the ledge and, like, feet, and you can bottom fish like grouper, snapper, catch your kingfish, and maybe the mahi swim by. You can fly kites for the sailfish, maybe get lucky like a wahoo or tuna. You can go way out like 20 miles. You can deep drop for like swordfish, which is really fun because you usually catch, sometimes we catch them, but we usually see some other stuff out there. Like last time we didn't catch a swordfish, but we saw this big floating log and we ended up catching four wahoo.
Okay.
Which was really nice. Or you can, if you've got like a full day and the weather's really nice, you can cross all the way to the Bahamas and you can fish like the Bahama Bank, which is, I mean, we fished the Bahamas once this year. We came back, me and five other guys, probably everyone ate fish for lunch and dinner 7 days in a row.
Oh, you guys killed it.
That's pretty good.
Just, I mean, you can go over there and catch a boatload of fish.
What's your favorite type of fishing? Yeah, I know it's a process. Like when you put a kite up in the air, like you're pretty dedicated to that for the day.
I like bottom fishing because the action can be a little more consistent. And I like jigging. Like you drop the jigs to the bottom because when you're jigging that up like real fast and something hits it, it's like an instant gratification when something when you're kite fishing, you get to see it. And when you're deep dropping and like doing some of the swordfish stuff, like way out deep, it's all electric reels and it's,
yeah,
you don't feel like you're fighting the fish.
And it's, what's the biggest fish you caught or most impressive fight that you have on record?
Oh, the biggest fish, we caught like a 160-pound swordfish a couple years ago. It's on my Instagram. I mean, it's, you know, I'm holding it like this.
Shameless plug at Miles Mikolas.
At MagicMikolas39 at Instagram something. But yeah, that, and like I caught a nice, like maybe like 60, 70 pound tarpon down in the Keys on my bachelor party. I've caught some big snook in the river.
Yeah.
Those are fun. I like to fish inshore too. I mean, it's anywhere.
So let's see. Catching a big fish. All right. That 160 pounder. Is that harder than going 9 innings in a complete game?
No. No, because that was an electric reel. But I'll tell you what. I've never been on one of those. I've never like hand cranked something for like 2 hours. Because you see those videos of guys.
Oh, yeah.
Big tuna. And they're like 2 hours in. Still cranking on it. I mean, that's about how long you're pitching in like a complete game. Because you're pitching good. The game's pretty quick. You're like two and a half hours. And with the pitch clock now, it's even more sped up. But like to be fighting a fish for like physically for 2 hours, I think. I mean, it's in the future. It's on the bucket list. I mean,
yeah.
People catch big tuna out here off Palm Beach all the time. You just got to be here in the summer. Because the summertime is when you run across. You got to talk to Bosher about it. Summertime is when you run across into the Bahamas, and you could get on those like big schools of yellowfin, like 70, 100 pound like yellowfin tuna.
Oh, nice!
And it's pretty wild, from what I understand.
I feel like after reeling for like 2-3 hours, you'd look like you threw a complete game. Get the ice on the shoulder.
Yeah.
Good lord.
The shower. You got a little food after.
Yeah, I fought an amberjack for like 25 minutes this winter, like a couple weeks ago, and I flopped that thing onto the deck, and I like grabbed a donut. And I was like, I need a break. You know,
that's a good reward, though.
Yeah,
you earned it.
Do the kids ever go fishing with you, or is that strictly dad's time to just unwind?
I'm always trying to get them into fishing, because as soon as they can be like, Dad, let's go fishing. Mom, let's go fishing. I'm like, well, sorry, honey.
There you go. Yeah, kids want to go
bonding.
Yeah, but they don't like the. My daughter Madeline calls them the wobbly waves. Dad, it's too wobbly. So we stay like in the intercoastal, and we'll just like anchor up and catch, you know, like little blue runners and like snappers from under. But I'm getting into it. We fish the lake behind the house with like shiners for bass and stuff like that. They like
it. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
They play
with
the fish in the bucket, like the shiners. They play with those more than they fish. But as long as they have fun, that's okay.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to like, getting Billy out on the golf course, because she definitely likes getting out a little bit and just swinging the club.
Yeah.
She didn't do a good job, but
she's in a good spot.
I'm looking forward to it.
Scholarships, man. They're giving them out.
That's a good one.
Giving them out.
One of the most unused scholarships is equestrian.
We had that at Baylor. Went to Baylor. They had big equestrian program. That was scholarship heaven.
That's big out here, and that's big out here in the farms too.
Yeah.
Out here.
What is it more? Is it jumping or dressage?
Yeah,
am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Showing
dressage,
horse dancing?
They're one in the same?
Yeah, there's three categories, I believe. Sad that I know this. Our good friend Preston, his sister does this. It's
okay.
Vaulting, I think, dressage, and something else.
Well, you have the floor.
Cross country.
There you go.
I got it. I know my horses.
Billy starts riding some horses.
Yeah, I'm terrified of horses.
And if your kids are really small, then they're just jockeys.
Yeah, that's right. We're winning the Derby.
Yeah.
Bring it home.
Oh, all right. Miles, what is the best part about being a dad? Best part, hands down.
That's a good transition.
I mean, I guess it would like sound quaint, but like just, you know, the love, the unconditional love from your children, and like the, you know, like the little pictures, like two dad love Lillian. Cause now that they're starting to be able to write every day, it's at least one or two pictures like, Dad, look, I drew this, two dad love Lillian. And they're so happy to give it to you. And the hugs, like you come back from a road trip, like the hugs and the smooches, and just that, you know.
Does your wife get jealous? And she's like, why do they love him so much?
Well, no, it's usually two mom and dad. Two mom and dad from Madeline or Lillian. Then, you know, the moments you really enjoy, like the moments of peace. You know, if the baby goes to sleep early and we can all sit on the couch. I just like to sit on the couch with the kids. Just Just let's watch, like, you know, Aladdin. And you get to watch. That's the fun part. The kids get older. You get to watch all the good old
Disney movies,
old school Disney movies.
Oh God, don't get me started. Do you have a favorite Disney movie?
Great. I like The Jungle Book.
Okay.
The Jungle Book, Sword in the Stone. I like the Incredibles movies. Those aren't like the classics, but those are really good. Pocahontas is pretty good. That's like the DVDs must be like stuck in my wife's car. Like they're watching that every time.
I'm a big Hercules guy. That has been my favorite since I was a kid. Hercules, I love Hercules.
I don't think we've watched that one in a while. That one's good.
We went through the whole Frozen era and Encanto.
Frozen's big here.
The music, man. Frozen, it just stuck in your head.
Mm-hmm. They knew what they were doing with Frozen.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Well, that lady can sing, and it's like, it's not a bad song.
No. No, but these kids learn these songs. So my daughter came home from school singing a song I've never heard, and we were trying to like figure it out. She's only two, so like not everything's crystal clear.
Yeah.
And it sounded like she was singing Slippery Fish, and I was like, what is this song? Like, is this a Miles song?
Yeah.
And it is. Song. This song is called Slippery Fish, and she was actually singing it like word for word, which was pretty impressive. And it's about a fish getting eaten by an octopus. And like something else happens to the octopus. And I was like, oh, this is kind of a brutal song for a kid to learn. Like everything's getting eaten.
It's like Ring Around the Rosie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go look that up.
Yeah. That's not a good one either.
Rockets full of posies. Ashes. We all fall down. Caw.
Oof.
Morbid.
They're around back in the day.
Morbid.
Yeah, they did not mess around. So I know one of the things Pat and I actually were talking about, I know you mentioned it earlier, was Japan. I think it's really cool. We haven't had a lot of people on here that have lived abroad.
Okay.
And I kind of want to know what it's like living in a place where I can almost guarantee safely saying this, you probably did not have a Japanese background going there. And I want to know, I hope I'm proven wrong. Cause I really want to hear about it now.
Like the universe is like a super weird place, right? Or like, you know, like coincidences. My dad and my mom actually lived in Japan for like, I want to say it was like a year, maybe 2 years.
Okay.
Like right when my brother was born, my dad was like doing some stuff overseas for McDonald's, and they had him over there, and like he was like doing stuff with like McDonald's corporate over there, and they lived in Japan in like the mid 80s.
Wow.
For a little bit. And then I got a chance to go there. So it's funny.
How different is it there? Because I just feel like it's a completely different lifestyle.
It is. It is. Super cool. Japan is super awesome. I think you could, as a tourist, I think you could knock it out in like 2 weeks. You might as well be there for a while because it's like a full day of travel, like a, you know, 15-hour flight.
Yeah. Over.
But it's awesome. The food is great. The food is incredible. Like the shrines, the temples, and it's weird, like living in the United States, like you look around, you're like, oh, like this building is like 200 years old. You walk around these Japanese temples and sometimes you're like, man, this is pretty old and like rickety looking. And then you remember like, okay, well, they've been on the island of Japan for like 3,000 years.
Yeah.
So like they've got these like buildings and temples that are like 8, 9, you know, 100 years old, like 1,100 years old. And it's like the history is really cool. And like the architecture is really neat. I mean, the Japanese gardens, like the cherry blossoms, it's beautiful. If you go during spring, the weather's better for walking around, and you can still catch snow, like up in Hokkaido, that northern island, and you'll catch the cherry blossoms. Like the food is amazing. The fruit, if you're like a fruit person, like peaches, apples, strawberries, the best. Mangoes, the best. The square watermelons.
This all but confirms it as number one on my bucket list to visit.
Wow.
I want to go to Japan so bad. It's top
strong. Number one?
Yeah. Okay. I want to buy a car and bring it home.
You go, they speak a good amount. Like, English would be, like, the second language.
Okay.
There. Like, so there's usually, especially in the big cities, like Tokyo, Hiroshima, like, down Osaka, like, you'll see a lot of signs in Japanese and in English. The subway system, like, super clean, super safe. This is great. Great baseball fans, too. Love baseball.
Yeah, that's like the coolest thing. You played in front of some pretty good crowds then, because I know they go nuts for baseball there.
Tokyo Dome, 40,000 sold out every game.
That's really sick.
Yeah,
that's sick.
Especially when Miles on the mound.
If you if you put the Tokyo Dome or the Tokyo Giants in with like Major League Baseball, they'd be like the third or fourth highest attendance every year. Right behind,
that's amazing.
Right behind like the Cardinals and I think like the Yankees or the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers seat like 60,000 and the Tokyo Dome's only 40.
That's crazy. They're just packing the house every night.
Yeah, and it's loud. It sounds like one of those Nintendo games from like 1994. Like they got the trumpets, the horns, they're waving the flags. I mean, it's
I love it's, that.
It's pretty cool.
That sounds like a great atmosphere.
So you were single then, right? No kids, no wife. You met your wife in Japan?
Wife. We were married. So we had to decide to go to Japan on our honeymoon.
My agent
called me on my honeymoon. Hey, you want to go to Japan? Like, we got to know, like, tomorrow. So we're, like, sitting at dinner on our honeymoon, like, going over, like, oh, yes, no, the pros and cons. And then it's like, well, what are they paying you? And then I'm like, well, they're going to give me, like, $1 million. And she's like, we're going.
Okay. That's an experience in itself,
yeah.
Too. Oh. Yeah. So where were you on your honeymoon?
We went to Mexico. We're in Cancun.
Okay. All right.
Those big resorts. One of those, like, just big resorts on the beach. It was great.
Yeah.
And kind of not halfway. I was hoping maybe Hawaii, so you can take a little 4-hour flight.
No. It's a long flight. You go from, like, Palm Beach to New York, and then you go from New York, you go over top to Japan.
Over top, like around. Canada?
You like, over, like, the North Pole. You go, like, straight over the top.
A lot of flying.
Oof, North Pole.
Yeah. Sounds brutal.
Yeah, I don't think the Earth is flat. If you guys are flat earthers, I don't know. But I've been on the planet over the North Pole. I'm not sure it's flat. I think it's round.
You think it's round?
I was about to put my tinfoil hat on here.
It's a good choice.
We can start that.
I've heard just compelling kidding. Arguments. We've got a guy on the team here that's like on the fence. He's like, I think it's flat. I'm not sure. So it's good conversation. Mm.
You got to tell him to fly to Tokyo then.
I don't know if he's ever been that far. So it's,
do you sit there and just belt out conspiracy theories and see if where he falls in it?
What bites?
We do that too. We do that at the breakfast table.
So, you know, baseball's different than football. Like, you can't be on the sidelines in a football game, like, shooting the shit, right?
I mean, I can.
Yeah, okay.
The other guys, no.
But maybe, like, you know, I'm a starting pitcher, so I'm every 5 days. And, yes, I'm watching the game very intently, if the coaches are listening. Very intently, I'm always watching the game. But there's also, like, side conversations in between the action. And it's 162 games.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
I feel like that makes it tough for conversation.
This, that, conspiracies, Earth is flat, it's round, you know, ancient Rome, the Egyptians, who built the pyramids, like anything you think of. 162 games, you got time to talk about it. You know, 162 games is 82 games on the road. It's like 30 some odd plane flights, sitting there playing cards for 4 hours, like every other couple days. You talk about it, we cover the very broad range of.
What do you guys play for cards? I want to see if it's comparable to what the guys play.
We usually play Hold'em.
Okay.
Last year we started doing like dealer's choice. So we play like Hold'em, 5-card draw, like little 7-card stud. I try to watch rounders like every month to make sure that I'm really on top of what I'm doing.
He's on his game.
You know?
I like this.
Do the clubs make the trip? We had another pitcher on this podcast, and he says he brings the clubs on the plane. And I'm like,
always.
I guess always. It's not a bad look if you're resting, but at the same time, like, do they want you sitting in the room? You know, are you out playing? Like, are you locked in?
I'm a big golf the day after I pitch. If I can golf the day after I pitch, like, that's 100% my day. You're walking the course, you're stretching the legs, you're flushing the body out.
It's good for your rotation, body.
Stretching out, clear your head a little bit. And with the when my family, so I don't golf at all during the winter. And when my family's in St. Louis, I don't golf at all in St. Louis. I only golf on the road.
All right. So do you have a favorite course you look forward to?
My clubs. One of my favorite courses to play is Oakmont.
Okay.
In Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Not a lot of water, almost no water, not a lot of trees. It's hard to lose a golf ball.
Have you found the pews?
No, I haven't ended up in the pews yet.
That's good.
Knock on wood, I'm going to end
up. Fancy little bunker there.
The pews?
Oh, yeah.
You've played?
No, I'm not there. I haven't played there, but I know it.
Okay, all right.
It's got the nice little slatted bunker, though.
I was impressed for a minute. I was like, wow.
I don't play that much.
There and Pine Valley.
Okay.
Pine Valley is a good course, and I did not end up in their famous bunker with the inappropriate name for the Locker Room Dad show.
Listen, You can have locker room talk right now. You can.
They have this bunker at in Pine Valley. It's like a hole straight down. They call it the devil's asshole. And like, if you hit it into the bunker, they tell you they're just like, just take
pick it up.
Yeah,
it's impossible.
How big is it? A really big bunker? Like you're gonna hit it, or is it like one of those like little bunkers?
It's maybe like 12 feet across, but then it's like 12 feet straight down. Like you can't like, I think last time we went there, like, here, just drop a ball in there and try and hit it out. You
have to do it.
That's fun.
You have to hit it backwards if you want any chance of hitting it out.
Yeah.
You have to hit it backwards and then try to go back over the bunker.
Who are the guys that you play with? Like, if you're pitching, the other guys are playing, who's your foursome if you have a foursome?
Mostly Wayno, because he's got all the best. Adam Wainwright's got all the best, like, golf hookups.
Okay.
And then it's usually, like, the starters, maybe some relievers if they're on, like, you know, if they pitch back-to-back days and they know they're going to be down, they'll play. Or if there's an off day, a lot of the position guys will play. Goalie Arenado, pretty good golfers, they'll play.
All right.
But, yeah. Last year, one of the coaches, Maddox, would play. You know, always wanted to be playing with us. He's a really good golfer too. He's got like 10 hole in ones.
Wow,
on his resume. 10?
Yeah. He got another one first.
Was someone there for those hole in ones? Is he that guy that's always like the fish story? Like, oh, I caught this. You should have seen this fish.
I think two of them have been in like charity golf tournaments. He had two in the same like week one year.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's impressive. 10. I hope for one day. Where? Have you had one? A hole in one, Miles?
Over at Jupiter Dunes, the par 3.
Jupiter Dunes.
The best little dump.
We used to play like 36 holes back in the summer. You can play like 36 holes for like $20.
Yeah. Jupiter Dunes. I play Palm Beach par 3 all the time. That's my home.
That's a nice one. That's a nice little course right there.
The best. Anyone listening, highly recommend it if you're in town.
How about Abacoa? Do you get over here much?
The golf course?
Yeah. No. Crazy right now.
Yeah, the rates too high. I'm going to use this time to dunk on Abacoa for having too high of rates in season.
Yep. Go ahead.
No. It's not worth it.
I'm going to bring us on the move real quick. My battery's down. I got to go grab a charger.
Oh, that's all right.
So I'll give you like a little tour of the house.
All good.
Welcome to MTV Cribs.
Yes.
With Miles Mikulis
here. I bet they're bringing that back.
They are. No. Yes, they are.
Let's go.
That show was actually pretty solid. It used to be like, do people. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you used to wonder if people really lived like that or not.
I loved when they used to show the refrigerator. I'm like, who stocked the fridge? Like, who organizes it? It was definitely not you. But hopefully we can get you on that list. The new crib you're building?
The new crib. I mean, the new crib, I think it might be Chris worthy. It's big.
It's eligible.
It's bigger, you know, it's bigger. You start designing a house with an architect, and you're like, well, we might as well put a gym in. Well, we might as well have a guest house because our parents are getting old. And you might as well do this. And then before you know it, it's like, you know, building like a compound. It's fun.
Okay, we could touch on that because I have a teammate that's thinking the same thing. Guest house with their in-laws. You probably are really close with your family.
Yeah.
He's on the fence. He's kind of reluctant, but he's going to do it. You know,
that's not something you want to be on the fence about. You want to be like 100% sure that you're cool with your in-laws being there.
You know who has the final say though?
Oh yeah.
Wifey.
That's right.
Wifey.
If they're her parents, yeah.
Is it your parents that are going to move in?
It depends on who needs to move in first. And there could be, you know, it's a big house. There could be room for other people also. So
there are benefits, free childcare.
Yeah.
So
four kids
and you can't beat that.
No.
All right, Josh, let's get into the travel tips.
Yeah.
My man's been to Japan, everywhere in between.
Yeah. This is kind of like one of the things we always try to ask. Okay. Traveling with kids is hard. I road tripped 4,800 miles with my two kids. Wasn't bad. Sounds terrible.
Kia Carnival. Don't leave
in a van.
That. Yeah.
Pat's been flying around with his kids. I'm interested. How do you do it with four?
We haven't done a whole lot of traveling as a group. We're getting ready to fly out to Arizona for the World Baseball Classic. Team USA, pretty pumped to be a part of that. And we're taking them all out to Arizona for like 10 days, and then we're coming back. And we'll be in Miami for a couple days. But, I mean, it's all preparation. And my wife is Mrs. Prepared. It's incredible. She's good. And she can pack a suitcase, like rolling up the kids' clothes, like almost like a Cuban cigar roller. Just their pajamas are so tight.
A sushi roll, like super tight.
Yeah, and they're stuffed in there so tight. You just got to roll with it. And I think sometimes it's appeasement. Just
here. Snacks.
Yeah.
Screen. Books.
Yeah, so they get like zero. Like, we have like those little Amazon, like Fire tablets.
Yeah.
They don't touch those 99% of the time. But when we travel, when we fly, here it is.
Hey, we found it.
Here you go. There it is. And I think she got on these little things. Like, you can, they're like these like blow up beds that
go
on the seat. So they'll be able to like lay down on the airplane. Cause I think we're flying at night. Cause I think the idea is at least to have the baby be able to sleep for as much as possible.
We have that too. I think it's called Fly Away. I don't know. It's essentially like a little air mattress, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. So
sometimes we fly private. She usually flies private, like on the way, like if it's just her flying with the kids, like,
oh yeah,
to a game or
Jupiter in St. Louis or something. Yeah. Cause they'll come out to St. Louis for like a couple months in the summer and they have school. So they go back and forth a little bit. So when she does that by herself, you know, you're traveling by yourself and she brings the dog. So I'm private, but we're not bringing the dog to Arizona and I'm going to be with them. So we're going to do a commercial. So that'll be the first time that they've flown commercial. So I'm kind of worried a little bit. We'll see how it goes.
That's the
vibe. I think they'll be fine. I think they're good. We were trying to get them those suitcases that like turn into scooters.
Those are pretty cool.
I've seen those, but we couldn't find ones that we really liked. Or
well, for the airport?
Yeah.
Or for the airplane?
Whatever keeps them quiet.
Yeah. Hey, if they're quiet, it's good.
Who's kids are these?
Oh, Mike gets big into snacks. So it's like you've got to bring, you know, a lot of snacks, a lot of drinks, and just hope that no one.
Are they all different? Like, can they agree upon one thing? Is it the Cheez-It? Is the Cheez-It the number one airport snack?
Cheez-Its are good.
I heard that. Or peanut M&Ms. I don't know if it's true or not. That's what I heard.
My
what are you packing for the kid? Like organic fruit roll-ups? See that guy? Are you doing?
Yeah, PB&J? We're mostly like organic. If it's a snack, it's mostly organic. You wouldn't believe. Like I grew up on healthy food, but even things like goldfish. Lauren's like, don't give him goldfish. Look it up. Look and see what's going on with the goldfish. And I look it up. I'm not throwing at goldfish. They're delicious. I love them.
A snack that smiles back.
But like the pretzel goldfish, I think are the best. And the pizza ones. They're all good. But like the over processed.
Oh yeah. For sure. I'm in the same boat with you.
Yeah.
Same boat. Fishing pun. There we go.
But usually fruit like bananas, apples, anything we can get like fruit wise, like that's something that they all usually like. The little cuties, little tangerines, those ones.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yes.
My wife taught them how to peel those. So now like they're crushing those, which is nice. So try to keep it as healthy as possible.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta throw a bag of M&Ms at them. And
you having all this wisdom. We're wrapping this up here. I do want to ask you your favorite kid product. I know we don't do all the shopping. Our wives probably do a lot of the shopping, but I'm sure you have one product that you can think of. Product in the past. Yeah. Life changing that if another guy is listening to this is like, you must have this to succeed. It could be for flying. It could be the blow up air mattress. I recommend that Duna stroller. You know, the one that folds from a car seat to a, you just pop.
No, we had all the Upa baby stuff.
Okay.
All the Upa baby stuff. Favorite kids product. Man.
Tablet. Could be the Fire.
Tablet.
I mean, this is
saver.
It's like crack for kids. Like it's the screens. They're so addictive.
Maybe it's a scooter, the luggage scooter.
The luggage
scooter. I'm going to look this thing up.
We don't have a lot of like gizmos. Like we try to keep everything pretty simple. Like they have pretty simple toys. Like we have a lot of balls and bats and frisbees and bikes and scooters. We don't have anything like super neat. A good comfy, like that you can wear a kid in.
There we go.
Something that's huge.
Oh yeah.
Shelby's been rocking that.
To wear a kid in. God, there was one thing I couldn't think about because I was talking to someone else had a kid the other day, and I was like, "Oh, you don't have one of these? Like, you don't have one of
these?" I just got this product. It's called the Aqua Roo, and it's the same thing. It's you put a kid in the front if you're going in the pool. So, like 6 month old, we're going to Hawaii for the NFLPA trip.
Oh, cool!
So yeah, they fly us out there. So I'm actually cringing about we're bringing the kids. It's only two though. It's only two. We're gonna stop halfway in California.
Okay.
See Nick Foles, his family, and then we're going to take the rest of the, I think it's like 4 or 5 hours.
One of the most fun kid things that I've done is those trampoline parks, like the
indoor
and stuff.
Dude.
Yeah.
Took my
kids. We bought a membership.
I had so much fun. I'm dripping sweat an hour in, like, come on, let's go hop on this. And they're like, Dad, we're like, relax. I'm like, come on, let's go.
Dunking on their hoops. You got to do everything.
Come on, man.
Green Bay, Wisconsin. Yeah. When it gets cold, trampoline parks.
We got one here too, in Jensen
it's
Beach.
So hot. It's in Florida. It's so hot. You got to go do something indoors.
Yeah.
Is there one somewhat around?
Yeah, Jensen Beach.
Yeah.
There's one up in Jensen Beach, and there's one down off like Congress. Like it's like 20 minutes south. It's pretty good.
There you go. We
gotta
take
the basketball hoops. Like they got the gladiator.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Yes. That'd be good content.
The girls having the little thing. Q-tips are pretty fun.
I love it.
Dude. But this, Miles, we appreciate your time, and I know you probably got practice tomorrow. But I'm going to hand this over to Josh. Any last questions you got?
Now, Miles, I just want to wish you the best of luck for your World Baseball Classic.
Thank you.
The big one.
Thank
so you got a good team this year, and just wish you nothing but the best.
Trying to bring back a gold, whatever they give out for the USA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A medal or whatever it is, but I want it. I want it in gold.
I love it.
We'll bring be cheering you on, man. You got fans in us, so
thanks.
We appreciate it. Hopefully we can see you out here before you guys take off to St. Louis.
Yeah,
that'd be nice.
I'm pitching Friday if you guys have like 1 o'clock over Roger Dean.
Oh, nice. We'll have signs and everything.
Sounds good.
We'll join the Miles Crazies.
Yes.
I appreciate it, man.
Kids should be there. So
love it.
Let's do it. But I'll close this out here. All right, guys. I appreciate everyone for listening to Locker Room Dads. You never know who we're gonna have on next week. But until next time, we'll talk to you later. Nick Foles, Super Bowl MVP, recommended this amazing new nutrition line to me. As a professional athlete, I had to listen to hear what he had to say. So let me tell you, Mantra Labs is an absolute game changer. For all you dads out there looking to have more energy, better hydration, and better sleep, look no further. Mantra Labs is the stop for you. So we've actually partnered with them, and they provide 25% off everything on their site. So go visit them at gomantralabs.com. Enter Locker Room Dads with no space for 25% checkout.